Quel'Thalas shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings.
For the good of all.
Bromkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control Alt Wow, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Sunday, September 16th, 2007. This is episode 38, entitled World Economics, and I'm Aprilian, your host, and with me is...
Glanther. Hello, everyone.
Yes, Glanther is back.
Yes, I'm back, and it's great to be back, everyone. It was a great vacation.
And Asheo did a nice job of standing in for you, but...
I really liked Asheo. I found he had a lot of really great things to say.
And he's got that great Australian accent.
He does. He does indeed.
Yeah, so how was your trip? It was good?
It was good. It was really warm in Florida. It was in the 90s every day. A little rainy. It's strange when you're down in the south because it's so hot, and then you go into the air conditioning and it's like 70.
Right.
You go back and forth between the two, and then you come out and I think I have a little bit of a cold going back and forth between the two. But it's nice to be back here and doing the show.
So did you get to play World of Warcraft at all?
No, internet was really expensive. I was at Walt Disney World, and the way it worked was you could get, for $10, you could have 24 hours worth of use, but it was 24 hours starting from when you paid.
Oh.
So if I got it at midnight, I could use unlimited internet until midnight the next night. But when you're down there, you don't want to play World of Warcraft the whole time. You actually want to go out and enjoy the sights.
Right.
So I would end up actually having to pay $10 every day. And so it would be like $70 to pay. And that's the same amount of money as it is to play 6 months worth of World of Warcraft.
Or that's what I pay for my cellular modem for the month.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. Oh, wow. Well, you know, now you're back and you can play. And.
Yep, I did some playing too. I made a couple of new alt.
Oh, what kind?
I got rid of my troll warrior, and I made him a shaman instead. And because I wanted to have a shaman, and I got rid of my something else that I had.
Some alliance character, probably.
I did get rid of an alliance character.
That's good.
And I made a... Oh, it's coming. See, I don't want to bring it up because otherwise you'll hear the music and then I'll screw up the microphone.
Mm.
But it was... Oh,
wow, this would be a good time
It was a Tauren warrior. I'm actually going to roll a warrior. And
reason
why I'm rolling a warrior is because the Sheo said that he had never... done a warrior before, and I realized I had never played a warrior before either.
I think it's an interesting class to play, you know, this, it's almost, you almost feel like it's not a thinking class, but it's a hitting class. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you know, you can use all the lower level mail, because it seems like mail drops. Is it my imagination, or does mail seem to drop easier?
Mail drops everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, so... That'll be interesting. I think I want to do a shaman. I think I need to just get to a point where I can do that. But here's a hint, and I don't know if you... Do you use RPG outfitters?
I don't use RPG outfitters. Yeah, but that would have really helped right now, wouldn't it?
Right, because you could have brought up all your alts.
The thing is that I only have 10 alts, and only 3 of them are above level 10.
10,
level
right.
5.
Right, yeah.
Because I collect these alts, and I kind of put them aside for a while, and then I play them for a little bit. Right now, I think I'm going to start getting all of them up to level 10 at least.
Right.
And so over the course of like the next week, I'm gonna play each one and get to like level 10.
Well, I saw something in Ogremar today that got intrigued me—a Twink Hunter, and I think that's one of the things I'm gonna go for. Since I know hunters, it would be great to twink one out, you know.
Ooh,
but go ahead. What else did you do?
I played Morian a little bit. I'm almost at level 32 with Morian, who's
that's
my blood elf warlock.
Blood elf warlock, yeah.
And I'm halfway to level 43 with Alaris, who's my Draenei paladin.
Shiny.
Shiny. It's all about the sparklies. And Glanther, my 62 dwarf hunter, I keep bringing him back and forth from the Outlands, and he goes out and he kills some stuff in the Outlands. And I play him every once in a while, and I complete a quest or two. And then I kind of go back to my other alts, and so
which
eventually
Glanther is
he's
human.
A level 63 dwarf hunter.
Dwarf hunter, okay, all right. Yeah.
62 dwarf hunter.
Because I can tell you, Aurelian is 61, and I feel like when I'm in Outland, I don't know, I feel like a newbie. Does that make sense? I feel kind of
yeah. I like running around classic WoW.
Right,
because
I know
what I'm doing there.
Yeah, we'll probably feel comfortable in Outland by the time Wrath of the Lynchkin King. I always want to call
Wrath
it
Wrath of the Lynchkin.
Yeah, Lynchkin. Well, I think Lynchpin, and that's what comes out. Wrath of the Lynch King comes out, and then. But and what else have you been doing?
And then I've been kind of doing research online, trying to think of, you know, some more mods that I can add to the characters. I found something that was actually part of Cosmos UI.
Okay.
It was mob info.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually very it's very useful because it shows the exact number of hit points that are left in any particular mob, as well as the exact number of mana. So it was really helpful when I had Glanther and I wanted to use a Viper Sting.
Right.
I could actually see if they had enough mana that it would be worth it. Because if they have a lot of mana,
right,
then
it's not even worth it.
It's not worth doing it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, that's about it. I've been very casual. With my gameplay recently. Not doing a lot of hardcore stuff, not a lot of dungeon runs. I need alliance guilds. I don't have any alliance guilds because I'm at the point now where everything I do requires a pug, and I just
right.
I can't deal. Like, I'm at the point, like, you and the Sheo both said that you never get bored in the game.
Right.
And I've been thinking about this, and I don't get bored either. I just get frustrated. And I get frustrated when I'm waiting for a pug or if I'm stuck in a bad pug.
Right.
Like, I'm not bored necessarily, but I'm not enjoying the game as much as if I was in, like, a nice guild.
Right, right. Well, that's one thing, you know, I think also with me and Asheo is, you know, we are a guild of one, almost, or a pug of one. You know, when we really need to go into somewhere, we can just dual box and...
Yeah, you have five characters right there.
Right, yeah. Or even sometimes I dual box. I, you know, bring in three people and go into a place. But, of course, that means not the upper level stuff. And I really need to get on really into some upper level things. But at the same time, I'm... I'm having fun with my lower level characters, or my mid-level characters, so... You know, it's not like it's pressing on me, you know.
I actually forgot how much fun the 40s are.
Right. It's like
the
in real life.
The 40s are like a really great time.
Yeah, it's like in real life when my 40s are the best.
Because at least on the Alliance side, like the 40s are when you go to Zul'Farak.
Oh.
It's when you go to
Garlet
Monastery. It's when all of the quests in Stranglethorn Vale are.
Oh.
And I really like Stranglethorn Vale. I find it really cool getting
so
wrecked with the goblins.
I love Stranglethorn Vale. I love the Venture Mining Company. I love the way all the mobs are close together. I love the trolls. I love the quest in the Vile Reef?
Oh, that one's bugged for me.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Mm. Blizzard says that they know that it's bugged. They're working on a fix.
What part of it's bugged?
I go down to actually use the knife on the altar.
Okay.
Nothing happens.
Oh.
And they say that, oh, it could be that you're using...
You're left-handed. You
like add-ons?
Right.
But I'm not going to get rid of my add-ons and do one quest.
Right. Well, I mean, you could do it temporarily. It would be interesting just to try it. You don't have to get rid of it. Just move it to another folder and then put it back in. But anyways,
I could do that, but that's a pain.
We're going to pause for 1 second because last week we had some problems. But so far it's been going good, but I still like to save. So
yeah,
we'll be right back. Okay, we saved. That's always a good thing. So, I guess I can start on what I've been doing this week.
And yes, I want to hear what you've been doing.
Well, I've been doing a lot of things, of course. The same thing I was doing last week was preparing for this fair. The fair was supposed to be this past Saturday night, but we rescheduled it. So I've been collecting a lot of greens and D-ing stuff and moving alts around, which has been great because I found that I had a lot of greens that I save for that one time when I get up to a certain level, and then I find that I got to that level and I've already got something that's better. So Vale, and who is my level 37 troll rogue, has been DEing stuff on and my level 19 twink rogue. That's funny, I just realized both of my rogues are disenchanters. But Vale is a disenchanter and a blacksmith, and Pri is a disenchanter and a, she's a level 16. She's a engineer because she's the twink. And they tell you to make a rogue as a engineer so they can get the benefits of certain things. Like she's made this, it's this thing that can take a polymorph. It's a trinket in engineering that can take polymorph off of a friendly target. I'll pull that up in a second. Cause I do have RPG outfitter. And I can tell exactly what it is. And the other thing is Iwari has been leveling up her engineering, which she has been lax in. And I just realized that she had a lot of stuff that she could make. And she's been... She did some rifles and, I mean, just a really lot of cool stuff. Of course, engineering is very complicated because not only did she have to make the rifle, she had to make anything, you have to make all these other parts. And some parts, like, she had to make, she finally made thorium widgets and mithril tubes. And then you find out that whatever you need, it also needs a bar of mithril. So you have to have the supplies to make the supplies plus extra supplies. Does that make sense? Have you done engineering?
That's one of the professions I've never done before.
It's rewarding to an extent, but it's very, very complicated. And while she's you just have to remember, it's like constantly going back and forth between what you can make and what would be neat. And I know this has never happened. It would be neat if you could search your what you can make. Because I needed to find mithril casings, mithril tubes, thorium this, and, you know, thorium that. And, you know, it's, you got to keep scrolling down. And then you got to kind of remember, okay, so how many of those mithril casings did I need? And then you got to go back, you know, and it gets kind of... hard to remember which ones you have to go back and make and then come back. You have to grind your blasting powder, you know. But it's almost addictive when you level up a craft and you make something. There's no better feeling, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
When you got your casting bar going and then bam, you've created something. So she made dark iron rifles, she made thorium rifles, she made delicate arcanate converters, which I guess is something that you use later on to make more stuff. So it's kind of neat, though. I really kind of embraced engineering. And I'd love to hear from all you engineers out there if you feel the same. I know sometimes people think that engineers have gotten the short stick because a lot of the stuff you make is either for you to use or that only engineers can wear or use. So that's kind of frustrating. But it's interesting. It's like being an inventor. It's like, oh, it's like being an engineer. And the other thing I've been doing is, Aprilian got her herbalism up. But there was one particular subject that I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, this, I've heard about this and it made me a little
why we named the episode Wow Economics. And I'm a little angry about this whole situation. And maybe I'm blowing it out of proportion and maybe it was no big deal or maybe this is the norm. But, you know, I've mentioned before that I make a little gold selling my Dragonhawk hatchlings from Eversong Woods on the Alliance Auction House. I buy the hatchlings in Eversong Wood for 45 silver. I have gotten Jajal, who's just a level 8 hunter, to honored in that area in Silver Moon City, so he gets the discount, and then he transfers it to one of my characters who's near Ultra, a neutral auction house, who then transfers it to my Alliance character near a neutral auction house in Booty Bay, and then he transfers it to my character in Exodore, who puts it up on the Alliance auction house, and you know, I sell them for 2 to 3 gold, and I make a nice little profit. You know, if I sell 20 or 30 in a week, you know, I've made 60 gold. Even if I just sell 20, you know, it's still good because what I end up doing is using that gold to buy stuff off of the Alliance auction house that I normally wouldn't be able to get. Sometimes prices fluctuate. Thorium bars could be 30 for 20 stack on the Horde auction house, and then I can find it for a bargain on the Alliance auction house, and that's been good for me. Well, the other day I happened to log on during my lunch hour, and I saw that my hatchlings had sold, all 3 of them. What I do is they come in red, silver, and gold. There's a blue one that's in the Outland that's harder to get to, and that's a little bit more expensive, which is understandable, but I've never gotten to them yet. And so I put a red one, a gold one, and a silver one up, one at a time, because I find that when people see them singly, they think that they're more rare, rather than putting a whole bunch of them up. And this is a thing that works for most crafted items, don't you think, Lantha?
I do, and this is actually, with your help and your knowledge, I've actually started using the auction house a little bit more.
Oh.
And I now put up like a lot of stuff, and I do notice that if there's already a lot of, say, bandages on there, that the price, the more you have on there, the less people are going to buy.
Right.
I use, like, using Auctioneer, you just refresh, and I've actually found the Auctioneer prices go down. Like, I will sell something like bandages on one day,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of days later, if there are more bandages that are already on the auction house, and I add mine onto it, and I refresh the Auctioneer,
mm-hmm.
It will do sometimes 20, you know, 20% less.
Right, yeah. So it's good that, so, and usually I had seen not many other people selling the hatchlings on there, but this particular day, 3 of them were sold, so I went and put 3 more up, the red, blue, red, gold and silver, and between the time I had taken this was my lunch hour, so I'd taken a mouthful of food and was drinking, and I looked and they sold again. So I put them back up again, and again they sold. So then something clicked in my mind, so I checked the auction house, and the person who had bought them had put them back up at 20G, and she had done this with several of them. And so there were like 10 or 15 of them at 20G, and then there were my 3 at my lower price. And she whispered me, and at the same time she was shouting it in guild chat, trade chat, that there was these hatchlings for sale on the auction house. And So I did the same thing. Well, she said whisper her, and I did the same thing and said, you know, I'm selling them in nice and reasonable prices on the auction house. And some people whispered me, and I said, check the auction house, because I really don't, I don't mind selling in guild in trade, but when I'm at lunch, it's better to just tell them to check the auction house. So anyways, to get the story further on. She then, the person that was upping the prices, whispered me and said, move your prices up and you'll get more profit. And I didn't. And she whispered me again. And I said, well, I won't do that, but you can buy me out as much as you want. And then she said, you know, why? And I said, it's not fair. And she said, the auction house isn't fair. She said, you know, you could make so much more. And I said, it can be fair. And she said, not on this realm. And this is all in the show notes. But basically, she was saying that when 19 blues and 29 blues are 100 gold, it's not fair. And everybody, basically, she's saying everybody jacks up the price. You might as well. And I basically said, you know, this is what I do. I'm making enough money. I'm not going to try to screw people over. I talked about this last week. Somebody did the same thing with some Netherweek bags. Did you listen to last week's show?
I did, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And they jacked up the prices. They took them off of the market at 7 gold and jacked them up to 20 gold. And, you know, I just don't think it's fair. I don't think just because you can make money that you should make money. And, you know, she was, and then she threatened me. She said, you know, I'll undercut your prices. Nobody will put the, at first she said she would offer me a quarter of everything she makes if I don't put my 2G. And I don't know. Am I unrealistic? Does that sound mafia? It sounded like, you know, I don't know. It just sounded weird. And I'd love to hear from you people. If you think that I'm being ridiculous for not putting mine up at 20G, let me know. Or if you agree with me, let me know as well. But I don't think that we need to raise the prices. And if some people are doing it, or if it's a, you know, if it's a thing of supply and demand, you know, if there aren't that many thorium bars on the market, and, you know, people are looking for thorium bars, if that makes you feel comfortable, jack up the price. But I just don't think it's good to just inflate prices just for the fun of it.
Well, there's two things.
Okay.
That... Let me add to this. One is that just like in the real world, if you have a product that is way overpriced, what's going to eventually happen is that you're going to alienate people from wanting to purchase it. So let's say that people like were able to one time get your dragon hawks for 3 gold, and now somebody else is selling them all for 20. They're going to, you know, see that, and they're going to say, well, I don't want to buy that. And so you can actually stop the actual production sale of
right.
that particular item, because people no longer have any interest in purchasing it because it's just too high. Also, it's something which you got to be kind of aware of, is that just like we have consumer reports, like at least here in the U.S., people have things like Auctioneer and other types of add-ons that let you know how much something is valued.
Can you hold on 1 second? Hold that thought, mm-hmm. Okay? 2, 1. Okay, we're back. And I think we were talking about the value of things. So is something valuable just because you say it's valuable, or is it valuable because
I think
it's
things
valuable?
Have like a... You know, the same way that there is, like, the cost of what something's cost is, and then you have, like, a markup on it, I think that there are elements of that in World of Warcraft, too, where they have the, like, a certain item where there's only so much of it that's going to drop from a particular mob at a particular instance, and so they put together, like, a how rare is it actually going to be, and that's, like, what its, like, real value is. And of course, you know, Murphy's Law being Murphy's Law, that a sucker is born. Well, no, that's P.T. Barnum. No, Murphy's Law.
Yeah,
Murphy's Law is that it is morally wrong to allow a sucker to keep their money. That's Murphy's, one of Murphy's laws.
One of them, yeah.
So that being said, if you want to make something a lot of money and people will actually buy it and it's not worth that, then I guess that's the only, you know, I read the article that you were talking about in terms of like the conversation and,
yeah,
so,
I use Chatlog to create that. It's a really cool add-on. But go ahead.
Yeah, I read those chat logs that you put in the show notes, and I completely agree with you on the auction house. Like there's an element of fairness, and it's not just about like the goody two shoes fairness. It's about you wanting to have a business and, you know, make money off of something. And if somebody else tries to do something like that, then people are going to think that, you know, dragon hawk hatchling eggs are too expensive, or they're not worth 20 gold. And then you're going to start to kind of corrupt buyers' minds towards them. And then they're not going to want to buy them anymore because they won't be cool because they're too expensive.
Right. And I think for something that doesn't enhance your battle, that's just an effect that, 2 or 3 gold is enough to pay for it.
Yeah. And, I mean, 20 gold is... I pay 20 gold for really nice weapons.
Right.
And I don't know what they're talking about in terms of fairness, about when you find 19 and 29 level items that are 100 gold. I'm like, well, of course you're going
to
find that. You find people
willing
marking
to pay
up,
right,
you know, Coca-Cola bottles at like $5 at some like movie theaters, you know, but if you're going to buy it, fine. If you really need Coca-Cola that badly, but you know what? I'll just go drink from the water fountain because I know I can get that same soda for 89 cents for 2 liters.
Right. And plus 29 blues and 19 blues serve a purpose. They enhance the battle in Battleground, and they're obviously
exactly
for twinks. And if you're in the game just to play the game, you're not going to buy the 19 blues or the 29 blues because, you know, you don't really want blues until you're a little bit higher. So it's not like it's something that you're going to invest in. Whereas a 3 gold pet is something cute to have with you while you're standing in the Ironforge,
yeah,
you know.
And I actually just had this thought, too. Have you ever looked at, like, the real-world stock market? And you look at some companies... And you, like, for example, Google, and you say, who could possibly buy a share of Google?
Right.
Like $400, right? Or $500.
Right.
But there's a class of investor where that's the kind of stock that they use, that they buy and they sell.
Right.
So I'm almost thinking that there's, at the high end, like at the level 70s, where they played the characters and now they're into twinking out characters. There's probably a market up there where we have level 70 characters buying things back and forth for their twinks.
Right.
So those $100 items aren't necessarily there for low levels like, well, I shouldn't say like us because we have some high levels, but for people that
are twinking out,
are at that same level, you know,
right,
that they were never supposed to be the target audience. It was only going to be people back and forth between like that twink market.
Right. Whereas there's no real use for a hatchling except because it's pretty.
Yeah.
But, oh, the other thing that I did this week, oh, well, you know, send us your thoughts on that at controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltwow@gmail.com. Am I being sanctimonious? Am I being reasonable? Would you pay 20 gold for a dragon hawk hatchling on an alliance auction house? Let me know. And we're going to be right back. Oh, wait, I'm not finished. There was one other thing I did this week, and I did it last Sunday, and I didn't mention it. And I think that even though it's not directly WoW-related, it is kind of in a way. I ran a 5K last Sunday, and I ran a 5K this Sunday.
Oh, wow. And I didn't know about that. Congratulations.
Yeah, I did the one that went, you know, downtown today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really good. And I do it so that I can play WoW. And I want to offer this as a tip that if you are, you know, a big WoW player, that you might want to engage in some kind of outdoor extra exercise activity. And I feel that it makes me less guilty if I run. So I run so I can play WoW, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, you definitely have like a, I do that too. I'll sit there and I'll say, I'm not going to play WoW until I, you know, do the things around the house I need to get done.
Right.
And like live my life and not let my real life kind of go into chaos.
Correct. And yeah, and you know, and also the other thing I want to mention is it's good to get up and stretch every once in a while, even just while you're sitting. Raise your arms over your head and kind of like do the little exercise, the little shoulder rolls and stuff, because while you're running your little body around Azeroth, your physical body needs something. I'm sorry.
WoW gave me a really bad case of carpal tunnel, and I still have a little bit of it. My right arm is still a little numb.
I'm...
So be careful out there. It can happen.
Yeah. Most likely what you got was repetitive motion strain.
Yeah.
Carpal tunnel's a little bit more severe and has to be treated with surgery. But it also has to do with ergonomics. I spend a lot of time on the computer. I'm a secretary at work, and I spend a lot of time. I spend at least, I'd say 15 hours a day at the computer. And I make sure that my body's, I mean, as corny as it sounds, you know, it's like I make sure that my arms are at the right angle and that I'm comfortable and I'm not sitting in a bad way. There was a time when I was playing The Sims Online when I was, my keyboard was at a weird angle and my monitor was to the right and I was actually twisting my body. And I ended up with a muscle strain in my side. And it was so severe that I thought I had appendicitis. It was just a muscle strain. So you got to be aware of how you're holding your body while you're running, your physical body while you're running around with your virtual body. And that's our lecture for today. And we'll be right back with emails. Okay, now we're back with emails, and we got a couple of interesting emails this week. We love to get emails. Of course, you can write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com or glanthur@gmail.com.
GLANTHUR.
Right. Our first email was from Tommy Boy, and he writes, "Hey, I just wanted to tell you before you even consider going through the pain of getting exalted with any faction to get their mount, you should really consider gaining 30 Arathi Basin tokens and 30 Warsong Gulch tokens and 30 Alterac Valley tokens, and you'll get Horn of the Black Warwolf from the Raider Bork, the Mount Quartermaster, within the Champions Hall." Well, of course, this is a little bit too late for Aunt Rilia. She got her Frost Mount from Arathi Valley, Alterac Valley, and even though it seems like this is 90 and she only needed 50 to get the Frostmount Wolf, this would probably have been a better deal for her, because it would have been 30 Alterac Valleys instead of, you know, tokens instead of the 50.
But then you had to do the War Song and then Arathi, though, too.
Right, but aren't those supposed to be a little bit easier for the Horde? And, oh, shoot, I'm sorry. I keep banging my...
Yeah, that's true. Okay, Arathi, yeah, you don't have to do Arathi 10 times and Warsong 10 times. But you'd have to do Alterac Valley all 30.
Yes, almost 50 times. So,
sometimes the Horde loses
that
so badly they lose ones.
Yes. Although, and I wanted to touch on that just briefly, and I think I might have mentioned this before, but there's been a lot of buzz about how unfair Alterac Valley is for the Horde. And, I think I mentioned this last week, but I still think, and I want to hear people's views on this, it's okay that there's a disparity. It's not supposed to be equal opportunity in Azeroth.
Well, yeah, Arathi Basin, the Alliance never wins Arathi Basin unless the Horde is terrible. I mean, so Arathi Basin is Horde, Alterac Valley is, you know, Dwarf Alliance, and Warsong, you know, is Capture the Flag, so it really is Twinkville.
Right. Arathi Basin, that's the one where you have the different flags you have to hold.
You have the full positions, like you have the farm, and you have the mine, and
right.
you have...
I really love that one.
Oh, I hate it, because I always lose.
I don't know, I find it very satisfying when, you know, to run back and forth, and I don't know, the few times I've been there, I think we've won, or just, I don't know, it was fun.
Alterac Valley's my favorite.
Yeah, of course, because you're, you know, one of those people. Anyways, thanks, Tommy Boy, and I think I'll try that on Real Fire. She's my level 51 Tauren, and she could, she's ready to get in and do some battle, do some PvP. Now, our next question comes from Marco, a.k.a. Dorum, and he says, he's written before, and we enjoy his questions. He says, hi, yes, I have another question for your show. Since the question I last asked for your show, which was about how to make money, I'm making 5G a day by selling greens that I have found. Well, not fine. You loot them. Oh, look, there's a green on the ground over there. And greens that are old on the AH. So my pally is a level 21, so I decided to take a break from him for a while. I made a hunter, which is a level 6, and now I'm going to make a blood elf warlock and an undead warrior. And the question I have for your show today is, are there any good mods, add-ons for professions, and the general interface? I'm still smiling. LOL. Thanks for your question. You know, we're not really very up on a lot of the professions and the interface. But I can tell you, if you're into alts, there are two mods that you really need. And one is Character Viewer. Character Viewer is good for one reason. It lets you see what your alts are carrying and where they are and how rested they are from any alts on the same account. So if you want to know, oh, does so-and-so have some solid stone, you can just do a /CV and a drop-down box. You'll see all your stuff. And that's another thing. You can see your bank. It also allows you to see everything that's in your bank, even when you're not near your bank, which is, you know, very helpful. And it also gives you a drop-down box so you can shift views to your other alts on the same account. And then you can see what they have. So I'll put a link in the show notes, Character Viewer. And, of course, we've talked about RPG Outfitter, which is great because you can see out of World of Warcraft just what you have. And the neat thing about RPG Outfitter is that when you do look at like a recipe that one of your alts has, it'll show you automatically all the ingredients that your other alts have. And this is great because this also goes across. Once you register and you have to upload your character profiler .lua, and once you do that, it also shows you across all your accounts. So I can see everything on all three of the accounts that I have. Do you use anything particular, Glancer?
I use the, you know, Cosmos UI, and I don't really look at all of my alts at the same time, because right now I only have three alts that are really doing professions, and they don't really have a lot in common with each other. I have a miner and a jeweler. I have a skinner and a leather worker, and I have an enchanter and a tailor.
Oh.
So, I don't have...
An enchanter and a what? Oh, a tailor.
So, I eventually will have an herbalist and an alchemist, and I'll start to need to have more gatherers. If I ever do blacksmithing, I'll do a blacksmith and something else, like maybe blacksmithing and engineering,
right.
Because then I'll have a miner elsewhere who would mine everything for me.
Right. Okay, so we thank you for the emails. We'll check the show notes. We'll put a few links for our stuff in there. And we're going to play a nice little MP file that Warlock has sent us. And we'll be right back.
You're good looking for a human.
Greetings, Aprilian, Glanther, and fellow Altaholics. This is Lithis, a level 70 Night Elf Warrior from the Lothar server. And now, recently also dinging 70, Tria, a gnome warlock, also from the Lothar server. Yes, I know I have way too much time on my hands, and yes, I know they're short, but that's okay. The reason for my audio comment is that after looking back on the time I spent leveling my warlock, I found some things that would help some of you other up-and-coming warlocks, and I thought I'd share them with you. Basically, the tip for today is don't forget about the spell that lets you create a soul stone. This spell is first gained at level 18, and basically what it does is for the cost of one soul shard, it lets you create a soul stone. What the soul stone does is it can be applied to either you or a member of your party. And basically, if you die and have a soul stone applied to you, instead of running from the spirit healer all the way back to your body and rezzing, it gives you a second option, which is basically to rez right there at your corpse. It saves you a lot of time and a lot of running, and lets you get back out there to killing those mobs. Tune in next week to when I share another tip from my lock experiences.
Do you feel lucky, punk?
So, that was actually really good. I really liked that. Thank you very much, Warlock. Wow, Warlock. The importance of soul stones as someone who plays Warlock myself, I can't stress that they really are important, and even I myself, in my vast knowledge, as I chuckle at myself and my own irony, but I have forgotten to create soul stones for myself sometimes, and I'll be in the middle of an instance or something that I've been working farther and farther away from a spirit healer from, and then, you know, you get mobbed, and, you know, Warlocks are very, very squishy with their cloth armor, and there's not much you can do. And
if they have to have some disadvantage, because, you know, they are uber.
Yeah, ready to be nerfed is the term. So, yeah, even I'm sure high-level characters have, on occasion, you can hear across the plains of Azeroth, a level 70 warlock say, "No, my soul stone."
So, because you know, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm sure that they forget as well, so.
And, you know, we love submissions. We didn't get one from Asheo this week, though I'm sure he's going to send us one next week. Maybe we wore him out last week with the podcast. He did a great job while you were gone.
He did. He was fantastic.
Yeah. And so I think we're going to close out for this week. We'd love to hear your views on economy. Was I overreacting, or was it reasonable to get whatever you can from the auction house at the a disadvantage of your fellow players?
Yeah, is there an Alan Greenspan out there who can talk about, you know, the Alan Greenspan equivalent for World of Warcraft? We'd love to hear from you.
Right. So this is Aprilian signing off.
And this is Glanther signing off.
For the Horde.
For the Alliance.
It's been real. May you always be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Aldir Shala.
Go in peace.